greet you all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the sermon we have already heard, the main points were emphasized. I'm just going to share with you also a number of scriptures. We all understand that God has a plan of salvation. We also understand there are promises in reference to the first coming of Christ, and there are promises in reference to the second coming of Christ. In John chapter 14, our Lord made the promise, I go to prepare the place. Then I will return and I will take you to be where I am. Then in Matthew 25 we read, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. There must be a time of coming out and a time of going in. We must come out of everything that is not in agreement with the Word of God, and therefore not with the will of God. Beloved, let's be very strict. We're not playing religion, and I'm not playing with your time, and I don't want you to play with my time. I believe this day is ordained of Almighty God, and it might be the final time when the Lord God is going to speak to us by His Word for the last time. And the decision that we make today, we shall take with us from time to eternity. So it is so very, very important to know the Lord, to know Him as your personal Savior, to walk in obedience to the Word and will of God. We cannot have our own ways and make it to heaven. As our brother mentioned, we are here from different denominations. At this time, we have about 350 different Christian denominations joined in the World Council of Churches, and all look to Rome, because in 2017 it will be 500 years since Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses onto the Schloss Church in Wittenberg. And now the aim of the Vatican is to bring all the daughter churches back to the mother church, even to the statement from the Vatican, which we get on a regular basis. The statement was made that all the other groups are not churches. They are just Christian fellowships, but there's only one church, and that's the Roman Church, where salvation can be found. I'm of a totally different opinion. When our Lord in Matthew 17 said, I will build my church. Then that was not the Roman church that he had in view. It was not the Lutheran church, not the Anglican church, not any church as a denomination, but the body of Christ. Those who are born again and have received eternal life. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. So this is the most important time in the history of humanity and in the history of the New Testament church. And the message of the hour is the most important message of all times. And the responsibility that I have today is much more than the president of any country on earth. We have to share the true word of God. We must go back to the beginning. And we don't go back to Rome. We go back to Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2. The word of God will go forth from Jerusalem, and the teaching from Mount Zion. The New Testament church did not begin in Rome. It began in Jerusalem. 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost accepted salvation. And according to Acts chapter 2, verse 41, they were baptized. 3,000 people. On the same day when the New Testament church came into existence by the power of the Holy Spirit, two things were at the same day: repent, everyone, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to confirm the remission of your sins. Remission is by the blood. But if you have received the blood of Christ, the blood of the New Testament, the blood of the New Covenant, then you are reconciled with God, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world with himself. But there was also said on the same day, repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because this promise, please remember the word promise. Please. The children of promise believe the word of promise, and they receive the spirit of promise. First, God makes promises, and when the time comes, he fulfills what he promised. Whatever our background might be, Anglican, Lutheran, Roman, Catholic, whatever, the day must come when we make our decision not to follow church teachings, but to follow the Bible pattern, to return to the beginning. And therefore, I have to say that the first baptism and the last baptism must be the same. Please understand that this is God's time for God's people to return to the Lord. And as John the Baptist was the forerunner at the first coming of Christ. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, he prepared the people for the Lord. And beloved brothers and sisters, in our time, we have the final message, the revealed word of God. The spoken word became the written word, and the written word became the revealed word of God, the living word that we have received. There are at least three aspects that we have to deal with. First, the evangelistic part, the teaching part, and the prophetic part. It is so important to be divinely informed, to take the word of God to be our guideline in every way, in evangelism, and let me say this in love. Today, we have many great men, many TV personalities. But I'm asking you today, whose sermon is the same as the first sermon was? Who preaches repentance? Who preaches the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who preaches the baptism of the Holy Spirit as the Apostle Peter did in his first sermon? I'm not judging, but I'm acquainted. I'm acquainted with the things which are going on earth since 1949. Since 1949, when the first U.S. gentleman came to Germany, to the city of Hamburg, I came to know even your old friend, David du Plessis, a man born in South Africa. Later, he was called Mr. Pentecost. He was there in 1949. And a number of U.S. gentlemen and great men were there speaking about different things. But then I came to know about William Branham, and they understood he was not a Hollywood evangelist. He was not speaking about money, who can give as much. I had to translate a number of these men. I translated those who said, who gives 100 marks? Who gives 500 marks? Using time to collect the money. I can truthfully say, in the over 12,000 sermons I preached in my lifetime, I never mentioned money a single time, and I've never taken an offering. When I heard Brother Branham in 1955, I knew in my heart, this is a man sent from God. At that time, I had no knowledge about a promise and prophecy of Malachi 4. But in the years to follow, I came to know about the promises of God for our day. And my ministry is directly connected to his ministry to share the true word of God, the true teachings of the Bible, to share the whole counsel of God, as Luke has put it in Acts chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul said, I shared with you the whole counsel of God. Now the next, just for a few moments, in Matthew 24, our Lord spoke about the end time, about the nations, about the uproar in the nations. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, where our Lord spoke about what would take place directly before he would return. And let us just have a look at two places, Matthew 24, and here our Lord made the statement, Matthew 24, about the time we are now living in. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat down on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, asking, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end and of the end of the world?" Three questions. When shall this be that one stone will not be left on the other? What is the sign of your coming? And what will take place right before the end of the world will be? And then our Lord speaks in the whole chapter of what would take place. And then especially in Luke chapter 21, it says here in verse 25, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth shall be distress among the nations and perplexity, and the sea will be roaring with her waves." Nations. I'm an old man. I will soon be 80, just 2 years more. And friends, did we ever experience what we experienced in the last few months? Uproar in almost every nation, also in the Arabic world. Who would have believed that in Islam people will get up and make what they have done right now in all the countries? I remember I preached in Damascus, I preached in Cairo, I preached in different Islamic nations, and everybody was calm. But now, around Israel, things are happening. And the newest is this. They prepare a map where Israel is no more on the map, because they claim that Israel has no right to exist. Can you imagine? And if I read to you from Ezekiel, chapter 36, speaking about the children of Israel, Ezekiel 36, verse 24, "For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the nations, and will bring you into your land," into your land. Say amen. I, the God of Israel, I will gather you from all nations, and I will bring you into your land. The promised land. God promised to Abraham, and it will take place according to Ezekiel chapter 37, that all tribes will have their original states and will have what they have had before. But now coming to our day and time, never before did we have what happened in Iceland, what happened in in Chile, what happened in Japan, what happened, what happened. And our Lord just said, when you see all these things, then you know the time is near. I have it before me, Luke 21, verse 31. So also ye, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know, not guess, not dream, but know that the kingdom of God is drawing near, is right at hand. In this connection, our Lord said in verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. And then to even emphasize, our Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And if you read verse 29 in Luke chapter 21, our Lord speaks about the fig tree, about Israel. And you have to go to Hosea chapter 9, verse 10, to know that God already in the Old Testament compared Israel with the symbol of the fig tree. Beloved brothers and sisters, especially to our ministering brethren, the importance of taking the Old and New Testament together. Brother, it must be emphasized. In the Old Testament, God made all the promises. In the New Testament, He fulfills what He promised in the Old Testament. So we understand by the grace of God that we are that generation that sees all the fulfillment of Bible prophecies. And brothers and sisters, I've been to Israel 24 times. The first time in 1964, when the Mandelbaum gate was still there, the barbed wire, you had to have two passports to cross from Jordan into Israel. I have seen the country coming up from nothing to be a well-to-do country. God is simply blessed because He made the promise, and He made promises to Israel, and He made promises to the church. And finally, to be honest with you, He made promises to the bride. And the bride are the elect. And election is not your choice, but because God knew from before the foundation of the world who would believe and who would not believe, who would receive and who would not receive. So He could put our names on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Because He knew that we would believe. In John chapter 8, verse 24, our Lord addressed those who did not believe what He said. And then He made the statement, if you don't believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Beloved, the sin of unbelief, the sin of unbelief is the most terrible sin. Sin of unbelief. Unbelief and disobedience go together. First Eve had to disbelieve what God said to receive what the enemy said. And this time, as I said, is God's time for us to be taken out from all unbelief, from everything. Well, to be honest, if you don't believe what God said, how will you appear in His presence? If you don't believe the word of God, you make Him a liar. That's what John the Apostle has written. Please respect the word of God. Please believe the word of God. Whether you understand it or not, believe it. Many wish to have the revelation before they believe. But always, faith comes first, and then revelation. First, you must believe, and then the word of God and the will of God is revealed to you. So, to finish this part, beloved, we see in every way that we're not only in the end time, we are at the end of the end time. And it's the last call, the last message going forth before the return of Christ. And the last message must be according to Acts chapter 3, where by the Holy Spirit we were told from verse 19 that we should repent, and in verse 20 it says, and He shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, and please hear verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution. Here is the same word as restoration. Until the times of restitution, the times of restoration of all things have come, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the time began. Very plain language. Our Lord remains in heaven until the calling out has taken place. Our Lord waits until the bride has made herself ready. Revelation 19, and His bride, His wife, has made herself ready. Let me say this very plain. If in your community a marriage, a wedding is announced, who prepares? All the ladies or just the one lady who is engaged? The one lady who is engaged, who has the promise, she prepares. All the others continue like usual. And so it is today. Only if you are part of the bride of Christ, you prepare. You hear the call of the bridegroom. Otherwise, you just move on and the word will not speak to you, because the Holy Scripture says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Now, beloved, a few words about restoring, about restitution of all things. Bringing back to where things have been at the beginning. If this building would collapse, then if it is restored, it has the same measurements, the same size, is the same in every way. If Israel is restored, it will be in the same boundaries. Everything will be the same as it was when Joshua went into the land and every tribe had his territory. In the same way, restoration includes that the New Testament church is restored to the same teachings, the same power of God, the same ministries, the same gifts of the Holy Spirit, the same fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is not only a message of restoration, it is a restoration in reality. And I tell you why I do believe this. William Branham, a man sent from God, a promised prophet, he did not only have the message of restoration, he had a restored apostolic prophetic ministry. I'm always glad to say this, that God gave me the grace, the chance to know this man of God for 10 years, to be in his meetings, and since Bible days, things like they happened in his ministry have not taken place. The same ministry our Lord had as Son of Man repeated in our time. And I'm an eyewitness, I'm an ear witness of that ministry. If you read in John chapter 1, our Lord saying, "Before Philip called you, I've seen you under the tree." That's wonderful. But what has that to do with what I'm trying to say right now? Moses in Deuteronomy 18 said, "A prophet like unto me, God will raise from among your brethren." So our Lord had to have a prophetic ministry. He could say to the brother of Andrew who brought him to the Lord, "Thy name is Simon. Thy father's name is Jonas." He could tell the woman at the well, "Five husbands you had, the one you've got now is not your husband." And the lady said, "We know when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all these things. But who are you?" And he said, "I'm he that speaketh to you." And the lady left the water, ran into the city, and said, "Come and see whom I have found." Wonderful. But now I, Brother Frank, have seen the same ministry. When Brother Branham came to Germany and Switzerland, he didn't speak a word of our language, but for every person in the prayer line, the Lord showed him a vision. He saw the person. He saw the city they came from, the illness they had, the circumstances in their life. "I saw it, I heard it, I wept, I praised God. I've seen Bible days with my own eyes." And when I met Brother Branham for the first time on August the 15th, 1955, before shaking hands, he said, "You are a minister of the gospel." Beloved, God has done something very, very special in our day. And God used Brother Branham. And please understand, I'm not here to lift up a man. But I'm also not here to bypass what God has done in our time. No, there are many who bypass. Please don't put me in their place. No. Let me believe the word of God for this day. And if God says, "I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord," then we understand that John the Baptist came 2,000 years ago and the day of the Lord has not yet been. Joel chapter 2, verse 31. Sun will turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the great day of the Lord comes. So before the great day of the Lord comes, because before the time of grace is over, the Lord has kept His word and sent a prophet in our generation and time. Why Elijah? Elijah took the 12 stones according to the 12 tribes of Israel. He restored the altar, and then he put the sacrifice on the altar, took water and poured it upon the sacrifice, and the people were gathered on Mount Carmel. And the decision was made. There were 450 Baal priests, 400 Asherah priests, and the people were following here and there and moving into every direction. And the prophet made the challenge. If the Lord is God, follow Him. And God answered by fire. And I'm so glad for verse 37. And the Lord turned the hearts of the people back to Himself, back to the Lord. Not the prophet, God. The prophet brings the message, but God confirms His word. Even Isaiah chapter 55, the word that goes forth from my mouth will accomplish what it was sent for. It's not the messenger, it's the word, the message, which we believe, and God will confirm His word. I think I need to say this, that there are many who follow William Branham. But there are also those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who give the Lord Jesus Christ the first place, and just place a prophet and other ministries to where they should be. Now, to make it very brief, the Great Commission our Lord gave in Matthew 24, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John chapter 20. You have to take what our Lord said after His resurrection in the four Gospels to have a full understanding of what He was saying. In Matthew, the emphasis is that we should teach all nations, not only preach, but teach. There is a preaching ministry, a teaching ministry, that we should teach all nations, and then baptizing them into the name, knowing that God revealed Himself as our Father in heaven, in His only begotten Son on earth, and by the Holy Spirit in the church, three manifestations of the same God to accomplish His own plan of salvation, to bring us back as sons and daughters of God, as the Apostle Paul has put it in Galatians chapter 4 in different places, like in Romans and other scriptures. So, there the name, baptizing them into the name. Father is not a name. I'm a father because I've got two sons and two daughters, but that's not my name. Son is not a name. Son is what you are. So what is the name? Let me read it to you so that you will know. It's in the precious and holy Word of God. Psalms 22. Psalms 22. It says here in verse 22. Psalms 22, verse 22. I will declare thy name unto My brethren, in the midst of the congregation, will I praise thee. The emphasis is, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Not to everybody, to my brethren. Remember John chapter 20, verse 17. I go to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. Remember Romans, the 8th chapter. Our Lord, the firstborn among many brethren. And then here in John 17, I just love it. The way the Holy Scripture puts it here in John 17, it says here at the end of verse 5, before the word was, I have declared thy name, especially verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Not to everybody, but to those who thou hast given me, who are mine, who believe in me, who have received me. And then here in verse 11, and I come and go to my Father, keep them through thine own name. Through thine own name. And in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name. So Matthew 28, the concern is the name, baptizing them into the name of singular Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Mark 16, 15 and 16, go and preach the gospel, and they that believe and are baptized shall be saved. There we have the commission connected to obedience. And in Luke chapter 24, we have the words about the remission of sins. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So we preach remission of sins. And then we go to John chapter 20, to whom you remit sins, they are remitted. It's not putting on a booth where someone goes and the priest is putting his ear like this to listen and then to pronounce. No, no, no. That's not the Bible way. The Bible way is to preach repentance and remission of sins to all nations. And then you can say with divine assurance to those who believe, if you believe, your sins are forgiven. If you don't believe, your sins are remaining. Because everything is placed on believing the Word of God, believing Jesus Christ. So with this, we have to go to Acts chapter 2. We have to go to Acts chapter 8. We have to go to Acts chapter 10. We have to go to the New Testament, to the Jews, to the Samaritans, and to the Gentiles. Everything in Bible days was established on at least two us three witnesses. And now, beloved, sit still. Please be quiet in your room and in your seats. There is not one time, not one prayer, not one nothing was ever done in Bible days in the formula of Father, Son, and Holy. Nothing. It's a misunderstanding. It's a misleading. And it goes back to the days of Constantine, as also goes back the sprinkling. I know church history in three different languages. In the past 40 years, it was almost something very special to me to search church history. In the year 337, 337, Constantine, on his deathbed, was sprinkled, and from that time, they called it baptism, but that's not baptism. Sprinkling with a few drops of water on the forehead, on the dead bed, that's not baptism. And I read to you from Acts chapter 8. From Acts chapter 8, where the Holy Scripture says that both went into the water and Philip baptized the man from Ethiopia. Acts chapter 8, verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. This is the Bible baptism. Even when Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he went into Jordan where John was baptizing. And the Greek word baptizo means immersing. And according to Romans chapter 6, if we died with Christ, we are baptized by immersion into his death to live in a new life. So we have to emphasize these things, beloved, that nobody will have an excuse. And from this day, I give you the advice. Read the Word of God with an open heart. Don't put glasses, or as we say, every church looks through their own glasses, having their own interpretations. No. Go back. Go back to the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, we find precisely what the teachings of the apostles were. And then you go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, that the New Testament church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So before the return of Christ, before sun turns into darkness and moon into blood, before the stars fall from heaven, the Lord promised to restore, to bring back. And if you go to Matthew 25, verse 10, they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was closed. Are you preparing? Have you come out from all that goes with Babylonian captivities? Let me say this also. all denominations keep people like in a prison, like in a prison. But this time, as I said before, is God's time. This is the last call, the last message before the return of Christ. We see Bible prophecies and Bible predictions fulfilled, fulfilled, fulfilled. How could I go with you to Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, showing you how the last empire comes into being and what is going on earth right now? And we shared with you about Israel. And beloved brothers and sisters, from the time of Reformation, actually, it was John Wycliffe in Britain who was the first one after the 1,000 years of the reign of the Roman Catholic Church. John Wycliffe in England was the first one who stood up and said, biblical is only what is found in the Bible. Biblical is only what is found in the Bible. And he rejected the Pope, he rejected the whole system. Then Jan Hus in Prague was inspired by Wycliffe and he started to protest. And then came Martin Luther, then came Zwingli, then came Calvin, then came Schwenkfeld, and all the others. So since that time, God, in various revivals, he sent closer and closer to the Scriptures. The time of John Wesley was closer to the Bible than the time of Martin Luther. The time of John Smith was closer to the Bible than the time of John Wesley. And there was a Moody. There were men of God, since the time of Reformation. And then, about 100 years ago, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit all over the world, the gifts were restored. And after World War II, God used a special man. I always like to refer to May the 7th, 1946, when the angel of the Lord came into the room. Brother Branham was seated, having the Bible on his lap. And the light, the supernatural light, entered the room. And Brother Branham stood up, and in this light, the angel of the Lord came down. And the first words he said was, "Fear not, I'm sent from the presence of Almighty God to give you your commission." And then in detail, our beloved brother received his commission. We all believe, Luke chapter 1, that the angel Gabriel came to Zacharias in the temple, standing at the right hand of the altar. We all believe that the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Fear not, that which is born of you is of the Holy Spirit and will be called the Son of God." The supernatural takes place on earth when God fulfills promises. It's not just religion, it's life. God has his way with us today. And the message of the hour is reality. And as we shared with you, but I have to be honest, I never go for a compromise. And I remember there was one American who came to Germany in 1945 when we had lost the war, and he became my friend. His name was Eugene Bird, and he was in Berlin. I had a few years in Berlin, and we became friends. And then he said, "Brother Frank, I admire you. I follow your ministry now for years. But I must say, you're a man of no compromise, and this shall never be. But let me say this in love. all the great men of God. Martin Luther, John Wycliffe, Jan Hus, John Wesley, John Smith, Menno Simons, and all these great men, you know who they are? Even William Booth was responsible for the Salvation Army. Menno Simons responsible for the Mennonite movement. All these great men of God, even right to the Pentecostal revival, they all took the two wrong teachings issued by the Roman Church with them. One is the Trinity, that God from all eternity exists in three distinct different persons, making the statement the Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, the Holy Spirit is eternal. Here, this is a person, this is a person, this. I know the things they have written. But the truth of it is that the 4,000 years of the Old Testament have come and gone. Not a single time was God addressed as Father in heaven. Not a single time was there a conversation between Father and Son. Not a single time. All the promises from the Old Testament. Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. From the first promise in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The seed of God would come through the woman to bruise the serpent's head. Right to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. Throughout the Old Testament, our Savior was the Lord, the great I Am. In the New Testament, He prepared Himself a body and was manifested in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we understand why it had to happen. And the next is the baptism. In the three titles, which has never been done in Bible days. And Brother Branham has put special emphasis upon these two doctrines. He even made the statement that everyone, regardless of denomination or church, who is baptized in the formula of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, is actually baptized into the Roman Church. And beloved, I was baptized in the Baptist Church in 1948 in the three titles. But when I heard Brother Branham speak so clearly about baptism, you know what I did? I found my way with a number of brothers to the River Rhine. Whoever heard about the biggest river in Germany, Rhine, we went to the river and we baptized each other in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, don't take it lightly. Even if I don't shout, if I don't raise my voice, if I don't, please, please, take it seriously. This is the time of coming out from all the churches, from all denominations, before they join with Rome. This is God's time of calling out. And therefore, we must come out to go in. You can only go into Christ when you come out from the Antichrist system. So, the two pillars, the wrong teaching about the Godhead, the Trinity, and the wrong teaching about the baptism. I feel, and please forgive me for saying that, but I feel like Samson. I feel like Samson. I would love to take one pillar into one hand and one into the other, and just to let the whole house collapse, the whole building collapse, The whole building collapsed. This is God's time for God's people. I don't need your money. I don't need your amen. But God needs your amen. And the word of God, the word of God is the word of God. Back to the beginning. Back to the days of the apostles. Back to the teachings of the apostles. Everything must be restored to where it was at the beginning. Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega. Let me say in closing, we have brochures dealing with all the Bible subjects, very, very small brochures. If you wish to receive them, you can just let us have your address and we'll send them. There's no commitment to it. We just love to serve the Lord, give the last message, and as I said at the beginning, the responsibility that I have today, together with all the brothers who know the promised word for today, we cannot compromise. It's impossible. Truth is truth. Lie is lie. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. And Jesus Christ builds his church upon the original foundation. Only from Peter, the few verses about the second coming of Christ. About the second coming of Christ, we read many in many places, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, a number of different places. Here, in 2 Peter chapter 1, we read about our Lord and the Word in verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, by which were given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. By the promises, by the word of God that you believe, you participate. You have part in the divine nature. Because the word of God is divine. And therefore, if you receive the word of God by divine revelation, you partake of the promises. Then, in verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we make known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The Apostle Peter was on the mountain of transfiguration, and he could testify, even having heard these words. You can check it. In chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. Only from chapter 3, we read verse 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Though the scoffers at the end of time would say, where is his promised return? He made the promise, I go to prepare the place, and then I will return. Where is it? The scoffers in Germany, we have such scoffers, even writing that the Lord did not keep his word, the apostles were mistaken about the second coming of Christ. Don't worry, All things take place at the right time. When the time comes, and be honest, if the Lord would have not tarried until now, where would you be? Where would I be? So praise be to God. And then it says here in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Remember the word promise. Not slack concerning his promise, as many, many men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then, even the light is thrown and shone upon the fact about the day of the Lord. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And then the wonderful promise is given unto us in verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Beloved, our Lord went to prepare the place for the redeemed. And the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians what no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, that the Lord has prepared for us. And beloved, this is our time of calling out, coming out, preparation time. This is the last message, as Brother Branham was told, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. The message given to you will be the forerunner of the second coming of Christ. Back to the Word, back to the teachings that came forth from Jerusalem, back to the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, back to the true baptism in water, back to the true baptism in the Holy Spirit, back to the original blessings and experiences the Lord gave to our brothers and sisters right at the beginning. Now, I wish to ask you, how many of you believe that the return of our Lord is absolutely imminent? Let me see. God bless you. I'm at home. I knew I'm at home. I knew that. Since 1970, when I came here for the first time, God had it laid upon Brother Branham's heart to return to your country. But the word given to him has returned. So we are grateful, knowing not the day and not the hour, but as the scripture says, when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawn near. How many of you are ready to walk in the ways of God right to the end, in direct obedience to the word of God? God bless you. God bless you. I see you again. I see you again on the bright morning when our Lord shall come, when the trumpet shall sound and the voice of the archangel shall be heard, and the Lord will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive shall be changed, and together we shall be taken up to be with the Lord forever. I hesitate to say this, but only for your information. Because of the direct call I received from the lips of our Lord. Audible voice, penetrating soul, body and spirit, even right to the bones, on April the 2nd, 1962. I was looking towards the window, and the voice of the Lord from up but from the right, "My servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word." With one blow, I was on the carpet. Even now, if I remember these words, it still goes through me. And from that day, my life is no more my life. I'm sharing the word of God, now looking back, to 155 countries. Even last year, I've been to 27 countries sharing the word of God. And God has opened the doors, even through TV ministries, from New Zealand, Australia, Canada, USA, Russia, South America, to share the last message, the last call of restoration, coming back, being called out. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14, "Ye my people, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." Going right to Revelation chapter 18, in verse 17, or in chapter 17, the world capital is being described. And then in chapter 18, "Ye my people, come out from among them." Let me say this once again with scriptural authority. Everyone belonging to the bride of Christ at this time will hear the voice of the bridegroom and will come out from all religious systems, denominations, and churches, and be with Christ, with his original word. So we take this word to the ends of the earth, proclaiming, "Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him." I wish to see you in glory, and I'm sure. Let me make one, you're such a lovely congregation. Let me make one more statement. If we, as God's people, who respect his word, his promise to us, even in sending the prophet Elijah, we who now believe, as the scripture says, if we are not the ones who will see the bridegroom, you think the denominations will be that bride? No. His bride has made herself ready. And this is the time, as it said a number of times, of calling out, of separation, of preparation, getting ready to meet the Lord and then be with him forever and ever. May the blessings of Almighty God rest upon you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us stand for a word of prayer. Let us stand. And I'm grateful to Almighty God for this service. The Lord so led that you're here today. And I'm sure you will take the word of God with you. And what you did not understand until now, you will understand from here on. Every word of God will be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And you will be sure that you do believe as the scripture says. His name will be revealed, His word, His will, all the mysteries, everything God has revealed. And the Holy Spirit leads us into all the word and into the will of God. We're not only praying, Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. We pray with all our hearts. Have Thine own way with us. Cleanse us by the blood. And sanctify us by the word of God. And seal us by the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Scripture says, even in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Please, grieve not the Holy Spirit by disbelieving. No, believe every word of God, and it shall be revealed to you in the name of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. If there are some here who need salvation, believe now and receive now full salvation, forgiveness of all your sins, so the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And beloved, the same life that was in the blood of the Savior is in all the saved who are purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Just receive it, believe it. And as we read in 2 Peter 1, have part in the divine nature on the basis of the promises God made unto us. What a time we're living in, and the divine revelation given unto us, and the message through the prophet William Branham. It's all the grace of God. If you receive it, say amen. Amen. Glory be to Almighty God. Be dedicated to the Lord and be called out and be prepared and made ready for the return of our Lord, Savior, and Bridegroom. To you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to you, our Heavenly Father, be praise, honor, and glory, now and forever. And I ask all of your blessings to come upon each and every one, that they might be blessed with all the blessings of restoration. So the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And together we thank you, dear Lord, for letting us live at this time. And to know the time and the message, and to line up with the Word of God. Amen. Dear Lord, it's upon my heart to ask you again for every person, not 99%, but for everyone who is present today and who will hear the message, that we shall see them in glory. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord, now and forever, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And everybody says amen. And everybody says hallelujah. Everybody says Maranatha. The Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. And we expect Him to come in our time. God bless you and be with you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you, beloved brother, for inviting me. The Lord, God bless you.